This is a download from the BBC. Eddie Mair's on holiday, and the show is on the road.
Üdvözlőjük! Önök az IPM-et hallgatják itt Magyarországon és Budapesten. You're listening to IPM from Budapest, Hungary.
Well, thank you, Drew, from the Budacast podcast for that introduction. I'm in Budapest, in Hungary, for the Global Voices Summit 2008. There are bloggers from all over the world here. No, really, there are bloggers from all over the world here.
I'm from Kenya.
From Belarus.
Khartoum, Sudan.
Calcutta, India.
San Francisco.
From Charajavi.
Venezuela.
Antananarivo, Madagascar.
From Budapest, Hungary.
Japan. I live in Tokyo.
On IPM, we like bloggers at least as much as we like emails from listeners. When we're not looking for pictures of cute kittens online, they give us ideas for news to cover. But at the summit, there are people who found out the hard way. Governments don't like them to share what they know. On the day the conference began, a man from Bahrain told me that three fellow bloggers had been censored by the Bahraini authorities.
On Thursday, a decision being made by the Ministry of Information to block three sites, and on Thursday they've been questioned in the police about the relationship between them and the sites. I've been in the same situation. I've been arrested for 2 weeks because of my blogging and my online activity.
Why do you blog?
Because I believe I have the right to blog, and no one should tell me that if you want to blog, you have to ask for it for us to give it to you. No, it's my right. I will do it.
Censorship was the main topic of conversation at the summit. This month, the World Information Access Report found that 36 bloggers were arrested in 2007. That's three times as many as in 2006. Unfortunately, it's a growth industry. The report highlighted Egypt, Iran, and China as the most dangerous places to blog about political life. There were several Egyptian bloggers at the summit. Here's one.
So I'm Ali Abdel Fattah from Cairo, Egypt. I am a blogger and an activist. I personally spent 45 days in jail because of my activity online and offline.
And as if spending 45 days in an Egyptian jail just for blogging wasn't bad enough, we know that the police in Egypt do sometimes use torture. We know that because of the work of another Egyptian blogger, Wael Abbas. And I spoke to him in the company of Anthony Lewenstein, the author of a forthcoming book on internet censorship.
Since 2004, I was covering demonstrations, especially the demonstration of movements calling for change, for a regime change in Egypt and calling for more democracy and more freedoms and a peaceful exchange of power. And I got some credibility with the readers, so they started sending me their own material. And from the part of this material was police brutality videos and torture videos inside police stations, which was leaked for the first time in Egypt. And I published those videos on my blog, and it caused a lot of controversy in Egypt. And it was a matter of, it became a matter of public opinion, and even some of the officers involved in these videos were taken to trial. And some of them are spending time in jail these days.
And your result in leaking these videos, in publishing these videos, you weren't praised for it. You were accused of all kinds of different things. I think from, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were accused of being homosexual, you were accused of being a Christian, none of which are bad things, but they are in the context of Egyptian society.
Our society is a conservative one, and they don't respect people who change their religion or people who have homosexuality tendencies and stuff like that. So this is the usual way that the Egyptian government is using it. It's not all about sending you to jail or torturing you or beating you or whatever. They can also do this character assassination thing against you. And they have done that with me, not even by spreading rumors that, like what you mentioned, but even doing that directly on television. Like there was the assistant of the Minister of Interior for Legal Affairs appeared on television several times claiming that I'm a criminal and I have a criminal record and stuff like that. And there was journalists writing for the official newspapers, dedicating their columns to attacking me and insulting me.
Your book is entirely about internet censorship, and you've travelled the world looking at it. What's the picture more broadly than just, say, Egypt?
The picture, I went to six countries, Cuba, Egypt, Iran, Syria, Saudi Arabia and China. The picture in all those countries, except for Cuba, where the internet thus far is fairly small, fairly insignificant in terms of political change, is the fact that governments are increasingly realising that their rule is being threatened, which is not the case in most of its history. A newspaper 40 years ago may have been a threat at the time, but read by a handful of people, they can close the newspaper office down, they can arrest an editor, they can arrest journalists. These days, yes, you can still close the website down or arrest a blogger too, but what's happening is it has kind of like a like tree roots effect. It's essentially spreading into society. So whereas people in years past may not have been emboldened to actually challenge a government or challenge a position, they're more likely to do so either through anonymity behind a blog or, as Wael does obviously, in terms of he puts his name to it.
Is the attention that bloggers get from authoritarian regimes, it's a bad thing, obviously, for bloggers, but is it a sign of the health of the blogosphere?
Yeah, I guess, because the blogosphere in Egypt was able to make some changes, if not big changes, but it was able to draw people's attention to demonstrations calling for change, for example, to the rights of people inside police stations, to the issue of sexual harassment in Egypt, which is has become a big issue and being discussed everywhere. They were able to influence the printed media and the television media and made them discuss stuff that was before taboo. So yes, I guess the blogs in Egypt have this influence.
The views of two attendees at the Global Voices Summit, and we'll put more about internet censorship up on the IPM blog. But before we leave this subject, it's worth mentioning this. The conversation here wasn't just about the actions of governments in repressive regimes. In his presentation on censorship, Ala, the blogger from Egypt, mentioned the case of 24-year-old former Heathrow worker Samina Malik. Posting extremist poems online under the name of the Lyrical Terrorist, Samina was this month acquitted on appeal of collecting information likely to be useful to a terrorist act, while the Crown Prosecution Service strongly maintained she was not prosecuted because of her poetry. Rightly or wrongly, that's not how Egyptian bloggers see it, according to Ala.
Cases like Samina Malik are very worrying for people like me, because our governments use them as an excuse to have even stronger censorship laws and to use the courts to punish people for their speech. If liberal democracies are sending people for speech under the pretext of combating hate speech or terrorism or whatever, then this gives a lot of support to our to repressive governments to do the same and have like an international umbrella or excuse.
And there's more from the Global Voices Summit on the IPM blog, bbc.co.uk/IPM.